The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It always makes me laugh when you read my bio and I'm sitting right here. Just me. Hi, everyone. Hi. Are you awake?
Hi.
You're awake. That's good. Great. Sweet. So lovely to be here. Usually I'm not teaching Thursday nights. I'm usually teaching Wednesday nights, the night before happy hour, but here we are. Ta-ta! A little change, but it's interesting, different format. So, so for the exploration tonight, for our Dharma exploration tonight, the theme I have in mind for us to explore together, and when I mean together, it's both an invitation and a warning. Tonight is going to be interactive. I'll have some interactive practices for us to do together in community, and I haven't even told you the topic yet. Okay, you're on the edge of your seat. The topic is joy. Topic is joy, gladness, happiness. It's one that sometimes I think we might just get a little too serious in our practice, in this path of mindfulness and compassion, and yes, be mindful, be aware, be compassionate, and can get very dry. And what's actually fascinating is that this path, if you look at the teachings of the Buddha, if you look at the Buddha was thought to be the happy one. He was called the happy one. He wasn't called the serious one. He was called many names, but the happy one. So to think of that actually as a way that someone who's cultivating this practice shows up in the world, as someone who's joyful, as happy, to me is really inspiring. And also when you look at the teachings, there gladness, happiness, joy, all of these beautiful qualities of the heart are interwoven in the path of practice. And I think there's something about our Western mind, about our Western very serious, work-oriented, accomplishment-oriented, that misses, somehow looks through the path of practice and puts the same lens that we approach everything else, the lens that we approach our life, the lens we approach our education, our accomplishments, our work, our this, our that, puts the same lens in this on practice. And even though we might be seeing and reading these teachings about joy and gladness, etc., we're like, yeah. But I need to put in more effort and be mindful and work harder, etc. So what I want to actually first thing is to bring to mind an inquiry for you to actually ask yourself, how do you approach your practice? Do you approach your practice with joy? Do you practice do you approach it with delight, enjoying your practice? Or is it a should? Oh, I should sit. I need to sit. Ask yourself, how do I hold my practice? What is my relationship to my practice? Is there joy? Is there gladness? Is there appreciation? Is there delight? Yay, I get to sit this morning or tonight. Is there a delight, appreciation? How you hold practice? So actually, let's make it interactive. There are a lot more tonight, but as you turn in, what do you discover? If we have mics, let's pass it on. What do you discover about your practice when you look in? Anyone would be willing to share? What do you notice? Yeah, please.
I find that I have to pay attention to my current disposition when I choose how I'm going to practice. Mm. That I may have plans of what sort of techniques I'm going to use, but if that's not what's up, that's not what's going to happen. So right now, the thing that works for me is metta practice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what wants to be there. Nice. And it's like, okay, come on, kids, you know, it's let's go for it. But nice. I find myself trying to impose, like I'm in an online concentration practice class. And usually that's a wonderful process for me, mm-hmm. but that's not what's up. That's not what I'm able to do. That's not what whatever is, you know, whatever I participate is not bringing that. So,
lovely. I so appreciate you saying that, and Maureen, and I'm going to comment on that, use it as a teaching point, because what actually you pointed out is so skillful to notice actually what is present, what is needed right now, what instead of having this set schedule of, okay, this is the practice I'm doing because I've decided this is what I'm doing, which actually sometimes for some people who keep doing spiritual shopping and doing, you know, one practice 1 week and another practice another week, sometimes it's actually really, really helpful to commit to a practice for a while and just explore it. And also sometimes it's really appropriate to give the appropriate response to what's present. And actually I would say in this, what you said is just to be responsive to what is present. And I would say that actually on a bigger level, if you keep doing spiritual shopping, so what's present is, okay, steadiness. If you commit to something and grimly do it, then, oh, actually maybe some more flexibility in seeing what is the appropriate response, what is the appropriate practice that's needed so that it brings you joy, so that it actually... It's appropriate for what is needed at a given time. So thank you for that. So one thing I want to bring up and to elucidate the point that actually gladness is gladness, joy. These are part of practice. Is to bring up the various. There's so many lists in Buddhism. If you've noticed. Anyone not noticed all the lists? So in the various lists, for example, there is the teachings on transcendent dependent origination, which starts with faith, which starts with trust, and it ends in nibbana, in waking up. So and there are about, I think, 12 or 13 steps. So beginning with faith, ending with nibbana, and the stops on the way, I read a few of them for you. Okay. Faith leads to joy, pamoja, which is often translated to either joy or gladness. So faith gives rise to gladness. There's a sense of trust that, bring the sense of gladness to mind. Gladness, pamoja, leads to piti. Piti is often translated as either rapture or joy, this bubbly sense of happiness and joy. That leads to tranquility or calm. That gives and then, which is pasadi in Pali. Pasadi, tranquility, calm, gives rise to sukha, translated as happiness or bliss, which then gives rise to samadhi, unification of the mind, which then gives rise to knowledge and vision of things as they are, which then gives rise to dispassion, disenchantment, emancipation, freedom, nibbana. So did you notice the many, many steps of the path? It wasn't hard work. It wasn't put your nose to the grindstone, but instead it was happiness, joy, gladness, bliss. Yes? Are you listening? This is so important, people, on this path, cultivating gladness, joy, delight, happiness. as part of waking up. Yes, you're with me? Okay, good. I think I've made my point. We're done. Okay, good night. Okay, no, we're going to continue. We're going to have some practical, actually, exercises, because I've just spoken to you, and now you're like, okay, well, how the heck do I go about cultivating this happiness and joy thing? Okay, many, many ways. And that's where the interactive part of tonight is going to work with, so that you get it in your body, not just as this idea floating. Okay, all right, maybe now you're at least half convinced that joy, happiness, gladness is important. Okay. So, excuse me. So lots of coughing still in this recovery process. So, trying to think how to go about organizing the interactive part. I think it might just be good to just start with an interactive exercise, and then I'll talk some more about the. Yeah, but I think the energy in the room, I think, will be helped if we go there. So, okay. So let me set that up. So, the one thing to do, one way to actually cultivate joy, is to notice it, to become more aware of it when it's showing up, the times that it shows up, and. Not so much going out and looking for it in a needy, in a clingy way, which actually can cause more suffering. Like, I'm not happy, I need more joy. She's talking about joy. Actually, that can bring more suffering when you want something really badly. So, and there is a difference, by the way. Here's another point I want to really clearly make. There is a difference between wholesome desire, wholesome intention, and clinging. And usually, desire gets a bad rap in Buddhism, but actually, it needs to be distinguished. Wholesome desire, intention. If we didn't have wholesome desire, intention, we wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't be here right now. You wouldn't get out of your bed in the morning. You would do nothing if there was no wholesome desire. You wouldn't practice. Forget about practice. There would be nothing. You wouldn't do anything. So to value, to appreciate the wholesome desire. So in the same way, appreciating the wholesome desire for cultivating joy and happiness and gladness that can turn your mind, that can open your heart to it, which is different, very, very different, and it can feel very different in your body from clinging, from this wanting. And the difference, I would say, one way to think about the difference is if I was holding, say, this clock in my hand and really holding it tight. I want it, I want it, I want it, and it's gone. Where is it? I want it, I want it. You know, there's this tightness. Okay, in fact, why don't you take something around you, or if there's nothing around you to hold, just hold a tight, tight fist physically. I want you to get it in your body. Try it. Tighten your fist, will you? How? Just do it. Just get it. Okay, this is the sense of wanting something really badly. Get it physically. Feel it, the embodiment of wanting something really badly. And now open your fist. Ouch. You feel the pain? Ah, okay. Now I'm going to ask you to open your hand and hold it with openness. And if there's an object you were holding, maybe hold it with openness. Ah, there's a different feel. Feel the embodiment. Really feel. You may even want to close your eyes and really get the feel, the difference, the embodied difference in the tight fist feeling and the openness of holding. So you can remind yourself in your daily life when there is this desire, when there is a wholesome, the difference between wholesome desire and the wanting, especially for gladness, happiness, for joy. Because if gladness or joy becomes a project, becomes this clinging of wanting but not having, ouch, it creates more pain, more suffering. But is it something to be held with an open hand? So I offer that as a practice of embodiment to really, you can tell the difference. So so to say one more thing about that, the goal of practice, the goal of this path, is actually interesting. For me, the way I interpret that is not happiness or gladness. Because if you set up gladness or happiness as the goal, as the ideal, that's when this clinging can arise. The Buddha has said, and experientially, I feel it is completely, it's absolutely true, that peace is the highest bliss. Peace actually has even more happiness, more spaciousness, more contentment, fulfillment than the bubbliness of happiness. So why do I bring this up? So as much as the bubbliness of joy and gladness and happiness is helpful on the path, and is wonderful and wholesome to be cultivated, see it as a support for your heart to be at peace, not to make another object of wanting out of the happiness or joy. You see what I'm trying to get across? So it's really wholesome to cultivate, to use it in your path, in your practice, in your humanity, to serve you as a human being, in your freedom, in your joy, in your happiness, in your peace, and serve others. And it's not to be held as an end-all. It will come on its own. Because when there is spaciousness of peace, it can hold so much. It can hold joy and laughter and happiness. It can also hold sadness. Peace, spaciousness can hold everything. It's not one or the other. The energy of joy and happiness is supportive, but it's not one to try to just have it inhabit your whole heart and mind and let there be nothing else, as if you're pushing everything else under the carpet. With peace, there can be enough space for everything to be held, both joy, happiness, and sadness, despair, all of that. So, so with that, now that I've said all this, now I'm going to set up the interactive exercises, because the point I want to make is when we cultivate spaciousness, when there is space, when we realize there is space and calm, then we can actually turn the mind to notice joy and delight that is already present. It's already here. Notice that actually, is it that through this conversation that we actually been talking about joy and gladness and happiness, maybe you're just tiny bit a little more perked up than when you walked in? Just because you've been contemplating and turning your mind to it? Just a tiny bit. I'm not saying that you're bouncing off the walls happy, but just a tiny bit more. It might be present in your mind stream. Is it? If it is, raise your hand. If it's not, not a problem. Yeah. Sorry. So, So noticing there is space, noticing opposites can be present, and turning the mind to notice, and then soaking in the good. So with that, we're going to do an interactive exercise in dyads. And this is a very formal practice we're going to do. So it's done in form of the repeating question. So one person is going to be asking the question repeatedly. One person will answer the question repeatedly for a few minutes, and then reverse. One person will be asking the question, and one person will be responding. So the prompt is, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? So person A will be asking, what brings you joy? Person B says, I love spending time in nature. Person A says, thank you. The thank you is important, is to bring closure to that round. Person A will ask again, what brings you joy? Person B says, being in community, being with other people makes me happy. Thank you. What brings you joy? I love it when my practice is really flowing. That makes me happy, brings me joy. Thank you. What brings you joy? You get this, right? And I will time you, and after a few minutes, we will pause and we'll change. And then the person who was answering now asks, vice versa. So, any questions about the exercise? Okay. So please find a partner to do this practice with. And it's best if you do it with someone you don't know. Best to be on the same level, either the chair or the floor. So please find the partner, and I'll set you up. I'll time everything. I'm talking. Wondering who felt resistance, who actually participated. Show of hand, who felt a little bit of resistance? Yes, okay. So, and who felt glad that they did it out of the people who felt resistant? Okay, all of you. Okay, great. That's always very interesting to me. There's also a research paper out on this, that the sense of resistance that people usually have about engaging in this way, it is universal. And then you do, and then you think, wow, I'm so glad I did that. It just becomes transformative. So that question aside, what did you discover? What was it like for you to do this? What did you discover by yourself? We have time, and we have limited time, so don't be shy. Go. Go ahead.
It seemed that joy could be ignited by some quite small things.
Mm-hmm.
Just little, tiny, mm-hmm. dorky things would ignite joy. And yes. It was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Sweet.
Yeah. And it was contagious, too. It's Monty would mention something that brought her joy, and it would like, oh, yeah, I forgot that one.
Yeah. And did you feel joy in the moment when the other person was talking about what brought them joy? Yeah? Raise hands if
definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So that is the experience of mudita, the practice of mudita, vicarious joy, which is another way joy shows up in Buddhist teachings. The Dalai Lama says, if you're just happy for your own happiness, you have 1 out of 7 billion chance of being happy. But if you're happy for other people's happiness, your chances really increase. And so you experience when the other person was talking about what brings them joy, and if you noticed, made you happy that this other human being was happy, was experiencing joy in their life. That is the practice of mudita, of vicarious joy, feeling happy for somebody else's happiness. And it's beautiful, simple, easy. Great. Pass it on. Yeah. What did you notice about yourself? What are you noticing now after having done this exercise? Whatever you want to comment on.
Well, I have been lonely recently because there was a big parting between me and my family because I'm not religious.
Mm.
So I no longer am connected to them, and a number of other cultural things. Mm. And so it's my mother passed away, a number of things. So it's my third year having the holidays, and I've been feeling lonely, and I've been asking myself, how do I find connection? How do I find people who will love me and give me the connection that my family gave me? They knew me since birth. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. But it's not impossible if I can have the level of connection I had with a stranger in 2 minutes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, just that's an example of what is possible in terms of human connection and being able to provide yourself with that sense of belonging mm-hmm. that is so integral to our health. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily find that connection with a family member who's known you since birth. Mm-hmm. You can cultivate that joy mm-hmm. and connection with anyone.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And in that, I'm hearing that you really felt connected in this practice with your partner doing that. Beautiful.
It's a vulnerability to me.
Vulnerability, yeah. Beautiful. You want to pass it on? Yeah.
What I noticed this time was that there are so many common things that we could both feel joy for. So human minds are pretty similar, and we all pretend and act like we're such a different people, and then there are so many disparities and different opinions, right? But at the end of the day, life could be simple, right? And then what makes us happy are pretty much simple things. And then I just had a little bit of a hope that maybe making the world a little better place is easier than what your brain tells me to do.
Thank you. Yeah, the common humanity.
I was aware that the second question, what brings you joy in your, what does it feel like in your mind
yeah,
and body?
Yeah, how do you experience it?
That was sort of more powerful for me. And so I was saying to, was it Bill? That the future and the past kind of drop away when you're feeling joyful. You're just really in the present. And that there's certain sorts of joy that sort of bring me back to being a kid. But then there are other parts of joy about being an adult that I could not have felt as a child.
Yeah.
So it has all these different dimensions, both. And in terms of body, I kind of, I'm less aware of my body, actually, when I'm joyful. I'm just not really paying attention to it, in a way.
So that becomes a koan for you, or something to continue to explore. What does it feel like in your body? Could be an interesting exploration. Thank you.
One thing that came up at the end of the question, what does it feel like? And similar to what you said about feeling like when you were a kid, is sometimes when I'm feeling really joyful, it's energetic and physical, and I want to do things that I did when I was a kid. That, you know, I remember one time I just wanted to, like, throw a baseball, and there wasn't a baseball, and I picked up a pine cone. But I have shoulder issues, and it was like, oh my God. So sometimes things like that happen where it goes from joy to an anger, frustration, because I want things, then I just, and I wouldn't have thought I was attached to them. It's just like I want to do things out of joy, and it's almost like an expression, and it's physical, and then I bump up against that place where it's not as fun feeling as it used to be. So, yeah, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, and that's the time to notice the difference between the wholesome desire of holding joy with an open hand, lightly, and then wanting it and really wanting this thing that's not available anymore. Okay. So it becomes a different practice, and just as a valuable practice. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm experiencing quite a lot of sadness in my life now, and so I'm seeking joy. And this evening really resonated well with me. And just the virtue of the fact that we can ask ourselves this question and actually bring joy to ourselves was illuminating. I, you know, do similar things with the kids around being, you know, grateful or appreciative. And I never thought about doing the same thing with joy. So that's something that for sure I'm going to take away. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. And I'm appreciating the big smile you're wearing right now. and radiating that smile through. Anybody else wants to comment? Or back there, please.
I discovered a couple of things. One is that you started off saying that the first step was faith. I've lost my faith in the process, in the practice, by and large. I haven't given it up, but I've lost faith. And the second thing I discovered was that I could even feel, and I expressed that I felt some joy in something that involves a good deal of suffering because of the way my son is handling it. Mm. That was a big surprise.
Mm. Beautiful. I want to say I so appreciate you bringing both in. Regarding the second one, appreciating the presence of the opposites, that opposites can be present. That's another important point I want to make actually tonight, that in the sadness that you've raised, in the suffering and working with it, the opposites can be present. It doesn't have to be one or the other. We can be going through a tough time with struggle, sadness, and then there could also be gladness and joy. I know it can sound like, ooh, like how is that possible? It is possible. It is possible. And also, as you commented, with this particular teaching that I shared, it starts with faith, trust, and it goes to gladness. And also to say, if there wasn't enough trust, you wouldn't be here tonight. There wasn't just a smidgen, a tiny little bit, maybe not the full blown, but just a tiny little, like a grain, as much as a mustard seed, you wouldn't be here tonight. And also to say, so I'm sharing that, so you recognize that in yourself, perhaps. There's something there to recognize, just something to honor, as tiny as it might be. And also that there are many different lists of teachings where in another list, wholesome action, ethical action, leads to gladness, leads to a sense of, happiness of one's conduct, and that leads to gladness. So there are lots of ways to get to that gladness, just to say faith is not the only one. Thank you for that.
It was a great exercise to bring that awareness for us, for all the things that we normally are doing. And sometimes we have the joy, but we don't see it as a joy.
Yeah.
And one thing that I was also mentioning with Maureen was the mindset. Because sometimes I'm like running so fast that you don't allow that. You allow your mindset to have the feeling of the joy, even though there are just instances that you can have the joy, but you're just so fast running you don't wait for 1 minute to catch that joy.
Exactly, not aware of it. Thank you, that is so important, the awareness, really making the time to be aware of it. So we're running a couple of minutes over time. And I also want to give the chance even to the people who did not participate, if they want to say anything, just to feel complete, if you wish. Don't have to. Okay. So thank you so much for coming here and practicing tonight with joy. What a delight. What a joy to practice with you. May you all be well. May all beings be well. May all beings be happy.
Thank you.
Thank you.